Everyone, happy Pentecost, I guess is appropriate to say this morning. I would like to unpack a few things about Pentecost that I think are important, not only for this day, but for our daily lives. And I was reminded of this as I was watching the news this week, as I'm sure you were and have been for some weeks now, where you see the flooding going on in the Midwest. And there's many things about that, of course. But one of the things is that, I guess it's kind of the obvious fact, when a river overflows its banks, it floods. Or if there's levees, if it breaks the levees or overflows the levees, it floods. And what you might say is there's not actually a river as we understand it anymore. There's water all over the place is what there is. Now it is, of course, flowing and all that, but it flows in different areas, different ways. It's not always the direction the river, when it's at normal stage, will flow. So it goes all over the place. And there's a lot of damage, naturally, and some just awful things going on. When the river is at a normal level, then there's great good that can come from that. It's a source of life in many ways. And what I was thinking about was this. What occurred to me is that you have, on Pentecost, you have the power of God. And that's like the river. River can be very powerful. But you also have the riverbed. And the riverbed takes the river to where it's supposed to go and help it do what it's supposed to do. There is a riverbed for the power of God. There's a way for the power of God, and that is created by the Spirit of God as much as anything else. You know, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in great power, times when the Spirit comes in great power in our lives, it is one very important aspect of it. But the same Spirit creates a path, a manner, a life in which that power is carried so that it can do the good that it's supposed to do. And that's very, very much a part of what it is to follow Jesus. And that's what we see, all throughout the Gospels, all throughout what Jesus has been talking about. We see Peter beginning to describe that today when he's quoting from the prophet Joel in that reading from Acts. And it is a very significant kind of thing that we can invite the Spirit of God to do within us on several levels. And it's not only to be empowered, but also to have the direction, the manner in which we would go, the manner of life that we would live that holds the power. In other words, that our lives would be like a riverbed that carries the power of God to where God would have it go. Very, very distinct and important thing to do. And one of the reasons that can be a somewhat slippery idea is because we tend to equate the power of God, experiencing the power of God with a very inspiring event or sermon or worship service or whatever it is. And we begin, even some of us, maybe no one here, but some of us, to think the important thing when I come to church is that I be inspired. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if that's what you think, because I already know. The reason I go to church is to be inspired. And what happens? Well, let's say you get really inspired, and then you go home, and by about 3 in the afternoon, if it's a really good one, that is all dissipated, and you're not inspired anymore. And you say, well, okay. And then you go back the next time, and what you want is to get inspired. And then it dissipates again, and what you want the next time is to be inspired. And there's kind of an inspiration addiction that's going on here. And you can tell it's kind of an addiction, if you don't mind the parallel, is that if you go to church one day and you're not inspired, you get kind of mad about it. I mean, right? Don't lie in church now, come on. Just like if you don't get your caffeine in the morning, you can get a little mad about that. Now, I'm not against inspiration, because it is an extremely important part of receiving the power of God. What I think keeps us weak and even at times immature is that all we look for is inspiration, and all we receive is inspiration, we do not grow at all. Okay, is everybody okay? So that's blunt, I know. I know it is. But it's true. It's true. Just looking for inspiration means you get good at looking for inspiration. And there's a whole lot more to what Jesus wants. And in fact, the Spirit of God creates the riverbed for that river to flow in, creates the life for that power to flow in, creates the rhythms of our lives together for the inspiration of the Spirit of God to flow in. The reason it will dissipate from your life is that there is no riverbed for that to flow in. Just like a river that overflows its banks or breaks the levee and starts going out on the plain, it just dissipates and then recedes. And the Spirit of God wants to create in your life a riverbed for His powerful river. And that's what we begin to see here in Peter's incredible sermon on this first day of Pentecost. Now, I mean, you know the scene, but just a brief review of it. There's the 120 who had been around with Jesus in the upper room 50 days after He had risen from the dead, and they are all in prayer. Very good thing to do. And what happens, there's this wind flows, it just rushes into the room. It's a mighty rushing wind. I mean, it's not a breeze. No, it's not the fan going too fast or anything like that. It is a mighty rushing wind. And then tongues of fire appear above their heads. I mean, this is quite a prayer meeting, see. I mean, things are really, really happening. And then they start speaking in the languages of the people that are right outside, who can hear and see everything that's going on. And most of these people were Galileans. I mean, they're at least from Israel. They weren't from all these other places that, by the way, MJ, you did such a marvelous job pronouncing those. They're not from Cappadocia or Mesopotamia, or they're not Parthians or Medes, Elamites, but all those people are out there, probably retired to Jerusalem. That's what they got there so quickly. And they're hearing these Galileans and others speak in their own language. Now, you knew that. That's what's going on. I mean, this is an incredible, incredible thing. And so, notice it says, like the bottom of the second paragraph there in our bulletin, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? I mean, that would have been my first question, too. What is going on here? What is this? And then, of course, others remarking, said they're filled with new wine. Peter, being very astute, said, oh, no, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and these people are not drunk as you think they are. And then he says, bottom of that last, or the third paragraph there, 16, verse 16. This is what Joel talked about. Some translations, it says, this is that. And they all knew what that was. They all knew the prophecy of Joel. They all probably had memorized it in their lives. And he just goes on, Peter, from memory. Remember, there's a Galilean fisherman, not well schooled, but all these guys memorized huge sections of the Old Testament when they were little. And he starts saying, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, I want you to notice this is the beginning of the description of the riverbed or the lifestyle that the Spirit of God will create within us to carry the power of the Holy Spirit through our lives to the places that God wants it to go through us. Notice it doesn't say, I will pour out my Spirit on your sons and your daughters, your young men, your old men, your servants, and everybody else, and they will be deeply inspired. I've never come across a translation that said that. There's actually things that will happen in their lives. They will do things. And that's what I want to unpack with you. I want you to notice this. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. There are people that you have been praying for years. And they might be your children. They might be other members of your family. They might be good friends. They might be people who you would do anything and everything for, no matter who they are. They might be people who look to you as if you were a parent or a family member or whatever it is. They look to you for resource. They look to you for comfort and provision and all kinds of things. They look to you, and you are praying for them. And God is saying, I will pour out my Spirit upon them. And they will prophesy. They will witness to the presence of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus will be on their lives. And that testimony of Jesus will not be, they go around saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Their testimony will be the actual manner of their life. And it'll be a witness of who Jesus is. These are the people that just flash through your mind that you are praying for and have been for years. These are the sons and daughters who at one day in their life wake up and say, I have a praying mother. Or aunt. Or a friend of yours who gets up one morning and says, my friend who's been with me through thick and thin has shown me what it is to believe in Jesus. That's what this is about. That's what's going on today. Your young men shall see visions. Now, there are visions described in the Scripture and throughout Christian history. There have been visions where people just see things. Of course, the great historical example is Constantine, who saw in the sky with a conquering army, said, in this sign conquer is big cross. And from that day on, the Roman Empire became a Christian empire. We can talk a lot about that later sometime. And there's visions like that young men will have. There's also other vision. And I think the other vision is a little more a lot more common. The young men that is talked about here in Joel, John talks about it in his epistle, you the young men who have overcome the evil one. Well, how do you overcome the evil one? You don't give up. You get a tap on the shoulder from God, and it gets tough, and then you start going through it, and it gets harder. You start going through it more, and people say, what are you doing? You're crazy. You do some other things to follow God, and you get no support or ridicule or whatever it is. And what happens? You want to give up. You want to stop. And somebody says, hey, wait a minute. Do you remember when you first heard about this? And that young person sees that vision again. And they get past the discouragement and the feeling of incompetence and thinking that they're not going to make it. and they see the vision again and go for it. Those are the ones who will see visions. Though that's the vision that they will see, and they will keep pressing on and keep pressing on because the power of the Spirit is upon them. And what's being built into their lives? Somebody is walking with them saying, look at the vision that you started with. Don't let go of that. And then what happens later? They start walking with somebody else. And when that person gets discouraged, they say, wait a minute. Look at the vision you started with. Stick with that. Anytime you have a ministry going, you're working at it, and you believe God is raising up somebody else who may step into the leadership of that ministry or lead their own ministry, they are the young ones. And what you can do is prompt them to see the vision again. That will fulfill the scripture. Okay, my favorite one. Your old men shall dream dreams. A couple of weeks ago, Carol and I went to pick up our grandson at daycare. And usually I don't go along, but this day I could, so it was great. Yeah, I'm going to have some fun. It'll be good. And it was a nice day, so all the little kids, these are like the year to 2 years, somewhere in there. They're all together, and there's an outside area, really nice. They're out there playing, and there's a fence around, a solid wooden fence. Nobody can see in. It's pretty high. So we gather everything up. We gather him up, and we take him out of the car. And, well, you know how it is with these car seats. We're in there, you know, in the car seat and all this. And I'm standing next to the car, and somebody starts saying, Grandpop, Grandpop. And I'm thinking to myself, there's some old guy in this parking lot who's not paying any attention. Then I realized she's calling me. And we had just forgotten one thing for a grandson. And I was ratting back in and got it. But my attitude there, what my first thought plays into what we think about people who are getting older, you know, like us, is that we get tired. You need to have a nap in the afternoon. I just want to point out, just to be clear, that is not what this verse is talking about. Your old men will dream dreams. These are the dreams of the kingdom. These are the dreams when Jesus sets all things right. These are the dreams of the people who've seen it all, been through it all, showing up year after year after year after year after year after year and not stopped, not giving up. Well, maybe they did a couple of times, but still, they're there. They keep going. They've been through every conflict. They've been through every mistake. They've been through everything that didn't work. They've been through everything that did work and then didn't work after it worked. Everything that you could imagine that could happen, been through it all. These are the old ones, and they, when the Spirit of God is poured out, dream the dreams of the kingdom once again. The dreams of people being healed. The dreams of the hungry being fed. The dreams of people worshiping God like they've never seen before. The dreams of the way that people are reconciled. The dreams of the way that Jesus sets everything right. You don't have to be taking a nap in the afternoon to get that dream. That comes from the Spirit of God. And it is those people who have been through that, who have seen that all, who know what the riverbed is like, and that riverbed is set, and then the power of God comes with that dream, and the riverbed is filled once again, and the water starts flowing once again, and the life that is in a river starts flowing out, blessing the entire land. That comes because there's a riverbed directing that power. Well, I think we're getting the idea. You know, if you go over to a socket in the wall, an outlet, you want a plug that is securely surrounded with safe coating, and then you plug it in. You don't want to take your finger and put it in there. The coating is what directs the power to where it needs to be. Otherwise, the power starts dissipating into your body, and you don't want that. Well, how does this work? What do you do? How do you get? How does your life take this shape and form? And generally speaking, our lives take the form of Jesus. We become like Jesus. As John said in his epistle, we don't know what we'll be like, but we know this, we shall be like him in the twinkling of an eye. And we're moving towards that. And I believe that the process of that is what we call discipleship. And the manner in which a riverbed is formed in our lives for the river of God to flow is the three basic dynamics of discipleship: worship, fellowship, and outreach. And you will recall our shorthand for that has been up, in, and out. And a lifestyle of worship means several things. Your relationship with God helps to set that riverbed through your life. Now, you would want to have a rhythm of prayer. See, these are not extra things that you add on to your life. This is what your life is. So there's a rhythm of prayer that you might get. You might ask God, what's the rhythm of prayer you want me to have? And you take one up, you go with it, maybe you're reading some readings every day, praying some prayers, whatever. Maybe you found the Book of Common Prayer online and you're going through that every day, whatever it may be. And then you get to a point down the road where it feels like this is just another meeting, another thing you have to do. You cross it off your list and nothing's happening. Well, the idea is not that you pray certain prayers and read certain readings and you're doing right. The thing is that you have a rhythm of God pouring into you. And what you do to get that is you offer him the sacrifice of your life. And even if it's just a few minutes of you offering a sacrifice, all worship is an offering of a sacrifice. You offer the sacrifice of your life for those moments. And if you go through a period where you don't read any scripture and you don't pray any prayers and you're a month or 2 months or a year or whatever it is where you're just sitting in front of God, giving him those moments, you've offered that to him. And that is a rhythm of worship. And he'll be pouring into you. And then maybe after a bit you pick up the Bible again or you go to that online site, the prayer, whatever it is. And then you do that here. When we come together here as a community. It's just an offering. This you offer yourself here with everyone else as a sacrifice to God, as an offering. Here I am. Send me. That's worship. As I've mentioned before, whether or not anything else is inspiring, you can do that. That's what God is asking for. And then there is the fellowship as part of the rhythm of your life. And you know, we have great time together here. We just have a great band of friends. Just wonderful things. We're going to have a potluck today. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. Just all kinds of wonderful things go along in our relationships. What God is asking for is that you enter into the relationships with other Christians where the first thing you look for is the presence of Christ in that person. Because our fellowship is with him. Doesn't matter if they get on your nerves, if they don't agree with anything you say, if they have been raised in a different kind of church and you think, what is it with them? You know, whatever it is, the presence of Christ is within them. You come to the same table. You look for the presence of Jesus in their heart and their soul and what they do. And you connect on that level. Every time. And then you can debate theology after that if you want. But that's what it is. That is what forms the riverbed that takes the power of God when we go together into something. And then there's the outreach. And God, what God is asking of that is for you to say, here am I, send me. Who do you want me to do anything with today? Or tomorrow? Or as a group? Or whatever it may be. What do you want? Those three things. God, I offer myself for worship. Open my eyes to see Jesus in the lives of the fellow Christians you put me with. And send me where you want me to go. Into anybody's life today that you want me to go into. Those kinds of things, in whatever way you're able to pray that to God, that sets up a life, a spirit-created rhythm of life that carries the power of God as He releases it. You can then what you know is that you are part of a spirit-created community. We want to see the Lord Jesus pour His Spirit on St. Francis so that the Spirit of God creates this community. And if some of our preferences aren't included in that, I'll choose the Spirit-created community first. Especially what the Spirit of God is doing right now. That may mean some of the things that we've come to enjoy previously may fall away for a season or for a long season or whatever it may be. What we want is the presence of the Spirit among us, not the aroma lingering after He's left. That's what creates the riverbed. Now the challenge for us is, what is God asking of you? What is He telling you right now? Is there something in your rhythms that the Spirit of God has been working on, wants to create, wants to build, so that you can have that power flowing through you more and more? I mean, whatever it is, whatever it may be, just say yes to that. And then step into it. My observation, not quite my promise, but my observation is that will be a little more challenging than inspiring. But hey, we all love rising to a challenge, right? Thank you. Okay. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank You. We thank You that You have not left us comfortless, but You have poured Your power into our lives, and that You are now creating among us the path that will, for which we can walk in the power of the Spirit, the rhythms of life through which the power of Your Spirit will flow through us, the riverbed through which Your river will flow. We ask that You make us attentive to that all the time. Enable us to walk with You in that everywhere we go. And we ask this today, for the glory of Your name. Amen.